Guardian Unlimited.
It is time for America to set and reach big goals again, to restore our standing in the world, to rebuild the middle class dream, and to reclaim the future for our children.
When I was mayor, there was a sign on my desk. It read, "I'm responsible." That's the kind of common sense accountability we need today.
We have to change our politics and come together around our common interests and concerns as Americans.
I believe we're spending too much money, and that's got to stop. I believe our laws ought to be written by the people and not by unelected judges.
Hello, my name's John Dennis. You're listening to a special edition of News Desk, The Guardian's daily news podcast, all about the 2008 American elections. In the weeks leading up to Super Tuesday, February the 5th, crucial primary elections are being held in a number of states. In the next half hour, you'll hear senior party activists from both the Democrats...
The striking thing about the Democratic field this time is how strong it is.
...and the Republicans.
There's no one perfect candidate. There's no Ronald Reagans in there per se.
We'll also hear how the candidates are using the internet in what's already being called the first Web 2.0 election. And why, despite all the discussion of policy, it's the candidates' personalities that will decide who's going to be the next president of the United States. On hand in our Washington office with her expert analysis is The Guardian's Washington correspondent, Suzanne Goldenberg. Suzanne, this is the most open election for a long time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's open in a very historic way because it's the first time in decades where you don't have an incumbent running and you don't have a vice president running. So on both sides, Democratic and Republican, you've got people fighting for the first time to get a shot at the White House.
Well, perhaps before we find out a bit more about the individual candidates, let's establish what's happening in January through to February. The US electoral system is very different to Britain's. Ewan Morgan is Professor of United States Studies at the University of London's Institute for the Study of the Americas. So, what's the difference between a primary and a caucus?
The primary is an orthodox election where people put voting slips into a ballot. In most states, the only people who are allowed to vote in the elections are people who are registered Democrats who vote in the Democratic primary or registered Republicans who vote in the Republican primary. In caucuses, that too is an instrument of suffrage for party identifiers. But in caucuses, you don't have the balloting procedure. People meet in a variety of public fora. It could be town meetings, it could be community meetings, and they meet together in small groups, and then the group is asked for a show of hands, usually, as to who they support. The show of hands is tallied, and everything is brought together, and the results of all the different meetings across the state are then tallied together. And what's also important, particularly in Iowa, where very few of the caucus results have been sweeping victories, it's the media declaring you the victor.
Fact: Mitt Romney's father George was a candidate against Richard Nixon for the 1968 Republican presidential nomination.
Fact: Barack Obama is mentioned in the Neil Young song Looking for a Leader.
Suzanne, how important is it for candidates to establish momentum?
Well, that's a crucial thing, especially now as we head into the final days before the caucuses in Iowa on January 3rd and the first primary in New Hampshire. It's unclear in this election because of the Christmas break what's going to happen, whether a candidate who establishes a lead and is able to break through in late December is going to be able to maintain that over the holiday period when people are going to be focused on friends and family. So all the candidates are sort of struggling to deal with that issue. But certainly now, when the field is so close, momentum is crucial to be getting put ahead.
Can anyone run for president, or is it impossible to get funding for most people?
Well, anyone can run for president. I mean, you know, there's 8 and 7 candidates, I think, on each side, and some of those people have really minimal, small-scale campaigns. Now, it's a very different thing to be a serious and viable candidate for president, and for that you need money and you need name recognition.
Well, let's have a closer look at the Democrats' campaign. Hillary Clinton has been the favourite candidate, but Bill Barnard, who's the chairman of the Democrats Abroad UK, agreed that Hillary Clinton is a divisive figure.
I think she came into this race having to accomplish two things. One was to reassure the American electorate, particularly American males, that she was tough enough to be Commander-in-Chief. Her service on the Armed Services Committee in the Senate and the respect that she's gained there from her fellow senators, Republican and Democratic, went far to do that, as did her performance in the early debates. On the other hand, she had to soften an image because she's often come over to many suburban women as a little calculating, a little cold, a little harsh. And in her initial advertisement that she ran, it was a very softly colored yellow background in her home, and it was meant to provide that kind of warm feeling. She sometimes claims to be the best known person in the United States who is not known at all. The other reason I think she's thought of as a divisive candidate is that while her husband and the warm feelings that throughout the Democratic Party and throughout much of the American electorate have towards her husband, and she benefits greatly from that, those warm feelings are there, but by the same token, many voters are reminded of the controversy, the very bitter controversies between Republicans and Democrats in the 1990s, during the Clinton years. And there are those who have a desire to move beyond that, and yet she's a reminder of it. So she has to carry that burden.
It's far from certain whether Hillary Clinton can become America's first female president. Another big question, of course, is whether Barack Obama can become America's first black president. He opposed the Iraq War. Is that still a big plus factor for him?
It is with many voters, I think. Of course, he opposed the Iraq War before he was in the Senate. The issue came up before he was in the Senate. He was still a state senator in Illinois, and it was not something the Illinois legislature was voting on. But yes, he did oppose it from the beginning. It is still a major concern, I think. It's what led many people initially to take an interest in his campaign. He had a different challenge from that Mrs. Clinton faced. He is a new face, a fresh face, and offers an opportunity for a fresh beginning, for hope, for change, to move beyond the politics of divisiveness of the 90s, which many identify with the Clintons. And yet he had to prove, his challenge was to prove that there was something beyond the magic dust, that there was something beyond charisma and personality, that there was depth there, that there was weight, gravitas there. He has been successful at that with some voters in the debates, but his performance has not been as strong as some of his set pieces, some of his set speeches. And so I still think he's got some way to go in that regard, though the longer he is on the scene and the more he deals with the questions and answers voters' concerns in Iowa and New Hampshire and in the early states, the more he resolves that question in people's mind.
John Edwards, of course, he's seen it all before. He was John Kerry's running mate in 2004. What lessons did he learn from that?
He's taking a harsher edge this time than he did before. He's always had this populist appeal. In 2004, as well as this time, he's often spoken of two Americas, those who've benefited greatly from the great economic growth that's occurred in the states over the last 20 years, and those who are still getting the short end of the stick. There's a harder edge to that this time with him. I think he sees it as a way to garner support among the more progressive wing of the party and with labor unions, which have generally been inclined to support him or at least to be favorable to his campaign, though some have held back.
And might any of the other candidates, Joe Biden, Chris Dodd, Mike Gravel, Dennis Kucinich, Bill Richardson, can any of them come from behind and do what we've seen Mike Huckabee do in the Republican race?
The striking thing about the Democratic field this time is how strong it is. I mean, when you get to second-tier candidates like Joe Biden and Chris Dodd and Bill Richardson, these are individuals who have records that would have made them serious contenders in almost any presidential race in the past. And yet their candidacies have been overshadowed by the three front-runners, Clinton, Obama, and Edwards. It will be difficult for them, I think, to break through at this point because there's no indication that any of them have caught fire in Iowa or New Hampshire. Now, those two states often produce upsets and throw up a candidate previously largely unknown. Jimmy Carter is a good example, and Bill Clinton is a good example as well when he first ran. But it doesn't seem to be happening on the Democratic side. The leading candidates are sucking up all the oxygen, in a sense, of the campaign and getting all the press coverage. And despite the credentials of Biden and the fact that Biden has done very well in the debates, he is relaxed, he's comfortable in his own skin, he's been among the most humorous of those who've been debating. And Chris Dodd has done well and Bill Richardson has done well, particularly in the latter debates.
Suzanne Goldenberg, you recently had a book published, Madam President, Is America Ready to Send Hillary Clinton to the White House? Is this election Hillary Clinton's to lose?
I think you can say that if you take the long view and look at where we've come since January, when most of the candidates announced that they were running for the 2008 elections. You know, Hillary Clinton launched herself then almost as the inevitable candidate, as somebody who was bound to win, that she was had strength and experience. She had the connections from her husband's administration, the Clinton administration in the 1990s. So she set herself up almost as an incumbent. And the danger, of course, then is that that image can waver and she could lose the election. But she did start off this contest with really strong advantages.
Is the increasingly bitter relations between Clinton and Obama, is that going to damage the ultimate winner in the end?
Well, that's always a risk, especially in Iowa, because voters in Iowa in particular do not like negative campaigning.
Fact.
Hillary Clinton was named Arkansas Woman of the Year in 1983 and Arkansas Young Mother of the Year in 1984.
Well, if there's still everything to play for in the Democrats' race, the Republicans' contest is even more wide open. Charlie Wolfe is the spokesman for Republicans Abroad UK, and he agrees.
Well, for one reason, is something that hasn't happened since 1928. This is the first time that a incumbent president or sitting vice president hasn't run. As you know, George Bush can't run because he served his two full terms, or will have served his two full terms. And Dick Cheney has said that he has no desire to serve as president, so he's not running. So it does make for a very interesting contest, I think, on both sides of the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats. To be fair, I think if one looks at the Democrat side, there are more names that sort of jump out at you. Whereas on the Republican side, I guess I'd like to say that, you know, they're all very good, so it's a very tough choice. But, you know, of the, I'm looking at eight candidates, I would say there's probably three or four. And, you know, there's no one perfect candidate. There's no Ronald Reagans in there per se. But they are very, very good people. I mean, if you look at Rudy Giuliani, for instance, this guy is America's mayor, as he bills himself, you know, and never mind what he accomplished on 9/11, which was, you know, very dynamic leadership under very stressful times. You know, he has great experience as an executive. You know, he's had experience at the sharp end. You have Mitt Romney, who, I guess, not that I'm showing a preference here, but you could say in some respects is probably the most experienced of all of them, a governor, you know, an executive, and a highly successful executive, both in the private sector, in the public sector, in saving the Salt Lake City Winter Games, and then as governor, as a conservative in a very liberal state, and doing quite well. You know, so McCain, for instance, John McCain, all right, no executive experience, but a bona fide war hero and a very long and honored servant of the United States people. So granted, there's no one that jumps off the page at you, but they all in their own way do have great assets to them.
How has the issue of faith, religious faith, affected the Republican campaign?
Well, obviously, a lot of it is centered on Mitt Romney being a Mormon. You know, this has become a little bit of an issue, and people are grappling with it. What's important, I think, though, with some of these guys, Huckabee, Romney, is they are men of faith, and that does count for a lot in the United States.
Is Rudy Giuliani's social liberalism ultimately going to kill his campaign, do you think?
I don't think it will have totally that much of an effect. It will have somewhat, yes, but with Rudy, the important thing is if Americans perceive the threat of terrorism to be the most important point, which many will, and again, we don't know where that issue will be in say, what are we talking about, a year from now or just under a year, I think people may look past that. However, yes, I mean, it's true to say he's had a very colorful past.
John McCain lost the 2000 nomination to George Bush. Is John McCain's strong support for George Bush's war in Iraq likely to win him many votes this time?
It will have some help, but I think with John McCain, how do I best put this? McCain has been at this for a very long time, and McCain is an extremely respected person in the United States. I mean, he is, as I said, a bona fide war hero. I mean, this guy spent some 6 years in the Hanoi Hilton, a highly respected American, but having run this many times, I'm not sure if that puts him as a front runner. Again, I don't want to start calling this thing because it's not really my duty to.
Is it possible that any of the other candidates, Duncan Hunter, Alan Keyes, Ron Paul, Tom Tancredo and Fred Thompson, is it possible that any of them could do what Huckabee did and give the leading candidates a run for their money?
Well, you know, the thing with any election, and again, whether you're talking Republicans or Democrats, is, as they say over here, a week is a long time in politics. So you never know what sort of a scandal or a policy goof or someone putting their foot in their mouth on a debate can change the whole timber of an election. Anything is possible. But right now, I personally think if you're looking at front runners, you have to look at Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, then McCain, and possibly Mike Huckabee. Ron Paul is a very colorful person. He's very much on the right wing of the party. He's not what I would necessarily term a mainstream candidate. He's sort of like what Dennis Kucinich, I guess, would be to the Democratic side. And as a Democratic strategist said to me recently, he said, well, the thing about Kucinich is he keeps the rest of them honest. So I guess you could maybe say the same thing for Ron Paul.
Suzanne Goldenberg, are the candidates in the Republican race keeping their distance from George Bush, or is the current president an asset when it comes to courting Republican votes?
It's actually extraordinary when you go to Republican campaign events how little George Bush's name features. I mean, it's difficult because they are preaching to the Republican faithful here at these primary election campaigns to actually renounce anything George Bush stood for. It's very difficult to come out against the war and still win over Republican faithful. So people are taking the safe approach of trying not to mention him at all. So he's basically this sort of big elephant in the room that no one's willing to mention.
Rudy Giuliani received an honorary knighthood from Queen Elizabeth II for his efforts in the wake of the September 11th attacks. His middle initial is W.
Well, the economy, immigration, terrorism, as well as the war in Iraq, all big issues. But Michael Tomasky, the editor of Guardian America, says none of these will be the big issue that sways voters.
The main issue on both sides will be electability. That always comes to the forefront of voters' minds as they start to consider whom they're actually going to vote for in caucuses or primaries in these early states. You saw it very clearly in 2004 among Democratic voters when Howard Dean had led through much of 2003. Then in late 2003, as the voting approached, and frankly, higher-ups in the Democratic Party got nervous about Howard Dean's electability, and his opponents started to attack him. Some of his opponents started to attack him on that score. The dynamic of the race switched. Voters started to think about this question of electability and settled on John Kerry in Iowa and in New Hampshire. So electability becomes the main issue.
Suzanne, how important do you think this issue of electability is, rather than the economy or health or education?
In this phase of the election process, I think it really is very important. Party activists, Democratic and Republican, are choosing who's going to be their party's nominee, and so they want somebody who they think can win the White House. They, of course, want a match between their views and the views of the candidate, but electability is always in the back of their minds.
Well, the United States has, of course, the most wired-up electorate in the world. But 2008 isn't the first internet election. The Guardian's blogs editor, Kevin Anderson, told me how the candidates have been using social networking sites.
They're really tapping into all kinds of different types of social networks, social media this time around. I mean, most of the major candidates have Twitter. So that means that basically they can send out messages either via the web, but also to people's supporters' mobile phones. And so Barack Obama, John Edwards was one of the first to use them. John Edwards, actually, when he announced his candidacy, had Robert Scoble, who's a very well-known blogger in the United States, follow him around in addition to the sort of the traditional press corps. So you've seen a lot of outreach. Of course, all the candidates have Facebook groups, they have blogs, they're publishing videos into YouTube. So any type of platform online, offline, mobile that you can think of, they're really sort of putting their tentacles out into all of them.
Suzanne, Ron Paul in particular, not a leading candidate in the Republican race, but he wouldn't even be in the picture at all, but for his very active and vocal support online.
Absolutely. He's sort of the virtual candidate. I mean, he has tremendous support online, tremendous sort of grassroots campaign. They're writing letters on his behalf. Very good fundraising potential. He's able to raise millions of dollars in 24 hours. But in terms of registering in the mainstream media, as it's called on the net, I mean, that hasn't translated through. And his performance in the debates has also not really come through in the opinion polls.
Well, Suzanne, when do you think we'll get to know who are the Republican and Democratic nominees?
Well, it really depends. I mean, it's an entirely wide open field. I mean, look, these two contests in Iowa and New Hampshire are skewed. There's a lot of weight on them. For example, if somebody wins on the Democratic side, if either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John Edwards win both Iowa and New Hampshire, they're in a great position to take Super Duper Tuesday on February 5th. That will create momentum. A win in Iowa and New Hampshire will create momentum that will enable them perhaps to sweep the primary, to sweep the sort of 20 states that are holding their primaries on February 5th. And the same thing could happen on the Republican side. The other scenario, of course, is that there is no clear winner early on, and even, you know, Super Tuesday doesn't produce a clear winner. And then we could have a situation that we haven't seen for a very long time indeed, where the candidates actually are nominated at the party conventions that are held over the summer.
Suzanne Goldenberg, many thanks. And don't forget, we've got full coverage of the US elections at guardian.co.uk/US elections 2008. This special edition of News Desk was produced by Phil Maynard. I'm John Dennis. Thank you for listening.
Guardian Unlimited.